Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Right on, perfect timing. Thank you guys for tuning in right now. Again, this is Talking About Practice. I am one of your hosts, Derek Isomaki, and I am joined in the booth right now with my producer coming in training right now, Mr. John Lucan.
What up, what up, what up?
Yo, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. I got a round of golf in today, so it was pretty nice. Got to enjoy the weather today, so it was nice.
I was going to say, the weather is perfect right now. We are loving it right now. What's going on? We certainly are feeling the springtime that's just around the corner, I feel, you know?
Yeah, like spring break, the allergies. Just my whole face is completely swollen.
I feel you. Like I said, if my voice sounds a little raspy, that's probably one of the reasons why, too.
It's worth it, though.
Yeah, no, the weather is perfect. I'm tired of the rain, man. Yeah. I want to get something going that's, you know.
Exactly.
Sunshines and daisies from here on out. That's what I'm looking for. Not to mention, I want to be able to put my pants away for, like, the next 6 months, you know? That's pretty much what happens. I, like, remember vividly when, like, we came back that, like, how long I hadn't been since I had worn pants,
yeah. You know?
It's kind of amazing, like, how that transpires. But we got the beautiful weather right now. We've got Talking About Practice coming on for you guys. So thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate the love and support. We've got a decent show for you guys right now. I'm not going to say it's a great show because we are missing one big part of the show. Jerome Gilbert, you're not hearing his sultry voice right now because he's living the vacation life up in Tahoe.
Jealous.
Yeah, I know. He's got, like, a hot tub right next to him and, like, ice and snow and everything and brews and too. So he's enjoying his spring break. So shouts to Jerome. We're holding down the fort for you. He'll be back next week for sure, unless he, you know, stays out there and doesn't want to come back, which is possible because we just found out, you know, a show that me and Jerome did for BCAC TV had some good awards, and he might just be living the life from here on out, you know.
Hopefully he comes back to us.
Yeah, no, exactly right now. It kind of gets a little out of hand when he's not here because I work during the nights and don't do a whole lot of preparation. He does a majority of that, so shouts to Jay. You're my hero. You keep us pumping. We are expecting Jordan Booth to come into the studio, but, you know, he worked last night for Joe covering his show, Flipside Radio, so, you know, he probably had a late night, so, you know, might be taking his sweet time. But like I said, we've got a big show for you coming up. We've got some March Madness, you know, that finally got announced.
So
we're getting
excited
to that right now. I actually watched NASCAR this weekend and wasn't disappointed. And then Andre Iguodala said some things and got fined. So we'll be getting to some things. Also, foot and mouth, that's going to be a hard one for me to talk about. But let's start right now because the Warriors, the Cavs lost last night to Houston.
It was beautiful.
Right? And the Warriors are on a nice little losing streak as well.
Not so beautiful.
Yeah, not so beautiful. You being a Warriors fan, that's not something you want to have happen. But you are also, like, that fairy tale ending of a three-peat of championship final rematch. Do you think that's still going to happen right now? Like, is it?
I mean, it's a possibility.
It's more so than ever now.
From where I'm standing right now, it's kind of a coin flip. I mean, I still think those are the two best teams in the NBA.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
It kind of depends on the path for the Warriors in the West. You know, last year, I know we got there's a lot of critics saying that they had luck, you know, with the Clippers knocking off the Spurs, and you know, we didn't have to go through a certain amount of teams. We just had to go through, you know, an injured Rockets or what have you.
Yeah.
So honestly, as a fan of the Warriors, it's kind of brought me back down to earth. You know what I mean? With watching the Warriors, they're so good all the time in so many aspects of the game. But losing Durant, you kind of see that vulnerability in them, you know, that kind of the, that,
yeah,
that, that show that they're actually human, you know, losing, you know, I think what, yeah, four of the last six, you know, so
they lost the Timberwolves by a point.
It's rough. It's been pretty rough. So
tough slog for
seeing
them right
that
now.
It's kind of interesting. But then on the flip side, you know, Cleveland, you know, with some key injuries and stuff like that, they're not looking as great either, with the Celtics and surprisingly the Wizards sitting in the two spot in the East, which is,
that's kind of odd, right? Yeah,
it's really weird for me.
The East has just kind of got, it's kind of just weird senses about it right now, you know.
Yeah, no, so I don't know. I think come playoff time, you know, both teams are kind of beginning getting back their starters, Durant and Love, hopefully eventually into the playoffs. So
losing Love has been, that's really big for the Cavs right now.
It's been detrimental.
I mean, they
especially
can't rebound for anything.
Exactly.
Right now.
You can't see him on the offensive boards. Tristan Thompson's not really, I don't feel like he's expected, he'd have thought he wasn't going to play this much
and
this year. So
they had 48 seconds of Bogut as well.
Yeah.
We are finally joined right now by the ever elusive DJ J Pounds. Jordan Booth is in the booth right now with us. What is good, brother? How are we doing today?
Yo, what's happening?
Glad to have you in with us right now. I know you had a late night. You're covering for the boy Jarrell and his Flipside Radio.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate y'all for rocking with me out there. It was wild last night.
Yeah, like I said, he's also the DJ for BYO Radio, BYOB Radio.
Yes, sir.
That's on Thursday nights, correct?
Yes, sir.
And he's just, you know, giving us another voice to talk in here because it's really boring with just two people. I feel dialogue. See, Jordan provides the spice that we need right now, you know?
Man, I got the spice in these wings.
I was going to say, and you got food in here right now? Oh, man, we are.
That's
thank
cool.
you, man.
That's
you
cool.
better be sharing
Larry
soon.
Sanders edition, though.
What's up?
What do you think about that Larry Sanders edition to the Cavs? The Cavs picked up Larry Sanders.
Wait, they did?
Mm-hmm.
I
didn't know that either.
A little bit earlier today, they picked up Larry Sanders.
Wow, I did not hear that.
Okay.
That could be great for him. I just don't see this late in the season how that's going to, I mean, hopefully he gels well with them, but with Love coming back eventually, I don't.
I mean, I think everything will kind of get into place once they do get Love back because, I mean, him not being there, like I said, you have to have Tristan Thompson in there if you want any chance of rebounding.
The Cavaliers just, they weird me out. I feel like they're just constantly grabbing for whatever they need instead of just trying to find, like, a niche with their own team, trying to find that chemistry. I feel like LeBron's just, like, gives someone a week, you know, and then he's, like, on to the next, you know?
Maybe he knows you don't got it, you know? Maybe you just, like, you know, we don't have it. Like, we need something.
I mean, you also can see LeBron's playing more minutes than he really has ever right now, and he's putting in a ton of work for this late in the career, kind of being a lot for asking of him right now when he's done so much for this team already. Now when you go over to the other side on the West right now, we saw the last game with the Warriors, they sat pretty much everybody. They only had their pretty much bench in play, so all the top four players, Steph, Clay, Draymond, Andre, all sat down when they played the Spurs at San Antonio. It makes it seem like neither of the Warriors don't really care if they get that home court advantage. Do you really think it's like that big of an issue for them, John?
Yeah. For the Cavaliers or for the Warriors?
Either or.
I feel like for Warriors, I heard Steph on Rachel Nichols, The Jump, this morning on ESPN, kind of alluding to the fact that they don't necessarily need it. But it's, you know, if you find yourself in that game seven, you know, that crucial game, it's going to be really, really a positive thing for your team to be at home.
No doubt.
In the Warriors case, you know, with Oakland, Oracle Coliseum or Oracle Arena, being the way it is with the fan base. So I think for Warriors, it's going to be more of a factor for them to be number one seed. The Cavs, on the other hand, I feel like with LeBron, they're just that body of work. They did it last year. I mean, not being on the road, but just being against the Warriors and having to share that, winning it in Game 7 on the road. So I feel like LeBron's more suited for road victories.
No, you also have the Spurs right now. They're coming up big. Kawhi's playing out of his mind, I feel, right now. He really is.
But with that injury to LaMarcus, I mean, I feel like that's...
I would say that's true, but like I said, you see the Spurs, they absolutely wiped the floor with the Warriors when obviously they didn't have their top players going,
yeah.
And it makes it seem like this. I mean, Pop has come out and said he doesn't really care if he has home court advantage or not, and doesn't seem he's really playing for that. He's just trying to have, you know, just play the game. Now, do you think if the Spurs do get that number one seed, do you think they actually could have a chance of taking the Warriors out, Jordan?
I mean, I don't think there's very few teams that really have the opportunity to take the Warriors out.
Are the Spurs one of those teams, you think?
I don't think the Spurs are one of those teams. I think the Cavs have a legit shot. I would say if the Wizards were to make it to the finals, they could have a chance.
You like that Wizards squad?
I like them. That Wizards squad. I think that they have the next best shot out of the East after the Cavs.
So over Boston. Yeah, okay.
Boston for sure.
You're not on the Isaiah Thomas train right now?
I just feel like come playoff time.
There's not a lot of room on there, but
yeah.
It's like, kind of short.
Yeah, I feel like come playoff time, it's going to be hard for him to get buckets. They have a good overall team, and defense has been helping them throughout the season thus far, but I feel like once, like, later in the season, we really need, like, high-scoring games and stuff like that. I don't feel like they are really capable of doing that.
Do you see anyone in the West being able to take the Warriors out?
The Rockets kind of scare me a little bit.
I know, but the Rockets have had so many chances, and every time they fail. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe that's the time right now. You know, it's our time to shine. You know,
I mean, and right now I feel like they played even more, like with their roster changes, they played even more into the Warriors' hand, where like they're trying to outshoot the Warriors, and it's already been proven that no team can outshoot the Warriors.
Right. So you need Houston comes pretty close to doing that, right? Yeah. They really do. I mean, when you say outshoot, they probably put up more threes than them. Who's making more? The Warriors usually are probably putting in a little bit more in the bucket.
And lately they haven't. They haven't been shooting pretty terribly. But, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if that's your formula and they're shooting the way they're shooting, then maybe it's a good formula. But in the past, it hasn't proven to be too successful.
Well, there we go. Good luck, Houston, in your endeavors. I mean, I liked – one of the reasons I like Houston is they got Lou Williams, which I thought was a great addition.
That was a great pickup.
From the get-go, again, he coming from the Lakers, I liked him a lot when he was on there. I like him anywhere he goes. Lou Williams can just ball out. And he was pretty much the perfect fit for them. And like I said, they're just looks like they're trying to beat the Warriors at their own game, where that's kind of hard to do when the Warriors really are the best at doing that. Now, after that game where the Spurs and the Warriors, where pretty much all the Warriors sat, Andre Iguodala came out and said some things that made a lot of people in the room uncomfortable.
Made me uncomfortable sitting on my couch.
Yeah, except people all over the world were not comfortable with it. Steve Kerr came out later saying that that's just Andre being Andre right now and not really to look too much into it because he doesn't really mean it. He's kind of joking around. Here's what Steve Kerr had a response to say to that Andre situation.
If we can get this.
You guys got Andre'd.
Here we go.
That's what happened. You got Andre'd.
So you weren't surprised that he had Andre'd?
Andre is one of those guys who likes to stir the pot and has a lot of cryptic messaging at times, jokes around. I didn't take anything from it. It's just Andre being
on. Okay, that was Steve Kerr responding to Andre. He came out when asking about sitting, pretty much coming and saying that when the master tells him to sit, he sits. Something along those lines. Other things were said that I cannot say, nor should we say in this booth whatsoever. I said when I heard it, I kind of laughed at it myself because I can see, I can't take him seriously. This is a guy who's, a multimillionaire getting paid, and he's making a play on stuff that's happened in the past and situations are currently happening with the very strong racial tensions in this country right now. I mean, Jordan, do you have any problems with it or anything, or was there anything that kind of...
I mean, he shouldn't have to say it like that, but I mean, at the end of the day, isn't what he said, right? You know what I'm saying? If your coach tells you to sit, have to say master, because I don't think Steve Kerr is that type of person, nor is...
Poor choice of words.
Poor choice of words, but, in the grand scheme of things,
it was a very blunt way to say what happened out there. He got fined, I think, $10,000 for those comments that he made right now, which, I think it kind of adds fuel to his fire a little bit more so after having gone through that. You said you got a little uncomfortable when you... I didn't see it live. I just kind of watched it after hearing the reactions.
Naturally you're going to, but you see it from a competitor standpoint. It's a guy who's been in the league for how many years? This guy's chasing another ring. He's a competitor. He wants to play every night. So when he, finds out, not from, it's his coach telling him that he has to sit, but he's not finding out from his coach that night. He's finding out from, media reporters and people asking him. So I think it was just maybe, caught off guard. Poor choice of words, but I mean, you look at Andre in his career, going back all the way to the Nuggets, it's had, minimal problems with that kind of issue and speaking out like that. So I just think it's poor choice of words and kind of got the better of him.
Unfortunately, that kind of happens, especially in this day and age where you're pretty much are not alone. Everyone sees everything you're doing.
Yeah.
and there's no privacy anymore. And that's one thing, too. People were saying that, you know, there's like an inside joke with the Warriors, and like we weren't privy to that, so they should make it privy to us if you're gonna say something like that. But I mean, that's, again, it's kind of locker room stuff right there. We, as the public, we're not, you know, that's not our realm. We're not a part of that. They have their own inner workings right there, and I think we take a lot of things a little too seriously and with, you know, just ease off on it. It's not a huge deal. I kind of, unfortunately, got fined, but I guess, like I said, makes them kind of think, you know, what you're putting out there for right. like the public.
Something had to be said, and I think the statement was made, you know, with that $10,000. I mean, that's, you know, couch money to him.
Essentially.
But it's showing you that regardless of situation, you know, the league and team isn't really going to stand for that. So it's a good thing to show community.
Boom. Good old community right now. The NBA still marches on right now. It's finally getting a little interesting to me right now. It's like playoffs are just around the corner. I love NBA playoff time.
That's the best time of the year.
Yeah. I mean, we got March Madness coming up right now, which kind of leads into the NBA playoffs. But the March Madness, like I said, we had the selection show yesterday, so we had all the brackets announced. I have no idea who to pick, really. I have
Rhode
not
Island.
Been following at
North
all.
North Carolina.
Is that who you are? Is that your number one? Is your North Carolina's taking it?
That's my team.
That's your team?
Yeah.
Okay, the Tar Heels.
Yeah, shout out to my brother-in-law, Henry, right there, UNC grad. So
okay, all right.
He's probably picking them as well.
I'll say Villanova came out as the number one overall seed, with the other number ones being Kentucky, Gonzaga, and Kansas.
UNC.
UNC and Duke. No, not Duke. I can't see. I'm not prepped at all for this right now. I didn't see it. I haven't watched
Kansas, Villanova, UNC, Gonzaga.
Thank you.
See, I didn't look at the bracket either.
Yeah, there we go.
I just knew UNC was number one.
Okay. A lot of people are, especially in the North Carolina area, primarily around Durham, right? That's Duke area?
What's interesting this year is UNC and Duke have been placed in east and south brackets. So potentially we could get a Duke North Carolina championship game, which is the first time this could ever happen in the history of the March Madness. So
really, okay,
they
faced off. There's the stats that they have between them two teams is kind of ridiculous because it's almost the exact
mirror. Yes, exactly.
I mean, every single game, it's like they just bring it up to the
within
tide, like
5 points of each other. Exactly.
Crazy that,
The East bracket though looks pretty intense. If Villanova can get through that East bracket, they're a strong contender to win the title, because there's a lot of teams in that could potentially come out of there victorious. So
the one I know is the South seat that has UNC, Kentucky, and UCLA in that one right there.
That's
which,
a hell of a bracket.
That is a bracket. I, being from LA area and having a lot of family go to UCLA, I was raised in a UCLA fandom house. So that's probably the team I'm actually going for right now, just because I feel like they have an awesome offense. Granted, they didn't win the Pac-12 tournament, but if they can get out of, I mean, they can prove themselves in there. You kind of have to. You have that many national championships between UNC.
You got to hope that maybe one of those teams gets knocked off by a sleeper, and you can go into the Sweet 16 against, you know, a 14 seed or something that. But potentially all those teams, you know, could come out of that bracket. You could even see a UCLA Arizona championship, which would be interesting.
That is true. Yeah, Arizona's been playing lights out.
Yeah. So yeah, they're all coming on really strong in their own tournaments. So it should be really interesting. The one that I'm really interested to see how they do is Northwestern. You know, coming into their first
seventy some odd years
of being, you know, trying to get to March Madness and just finally getting there. So big shout out to Northwestern University.
No doubt, right there. Also, I mean, one school you got to look out for. I know Michigan; they're coming in real hot right now. They just won their the Big Ten tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's always one thing you always kind of pay attention to, is the teams that are hot. Apparently, I've heard Princeton is also another team to look out for.
They went undefeated in their own division, so they should be interested. The Ivy League, right there.
I don't know. Every team ain't an Ivy League school. You know what I'm saying? A lot of teams ain't got NBA prospects like the bigger schools. So Princeton, they got their work cut out for them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Pretty much is kind of a toss-up, though, this tournament, I feel. It could go to anyone.
I think I read somewhere that they were saying that this is the hardest prediction. I mean, it's already, you know, the odds of predicting a proper bracket is, you know,
nearly impossible.
Yeah.
Same always,
Warren Buffett. Yeah, Warren Buffett puts up a billion.
Yeah.
Supposedly the odds are supposed to be even more astronomical, in that every team's so close to each other. So should be interesting.
That's always my problem when I'm filling out my bracket, as I get upset hungry, and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's cool. That school name, that sounds killer. I got it.
Upset hungry. Yeah. That's the hardest thing in the world, picking a bracket, because you really don't know enough about everyone to really make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So like half the time it's like just like perception. Like, oh yeah, they got this dude. He's the number 5 shooting guard in the nation or something. He's going to go crazy against them. And you just kind of like just rationalize everything.
What I will say is this actually might be the year we see a number 1 seed get knocked off. You never know. Like, that's what I'm hoping
by
for.
By a 16?
Yeah, let's see.
I don't know.
It hasn't happened in history.
It hasn't happened.
And these one seeds are pretty legit.
They are. I mean, I can still see Gonzaga losing, though. I really think Gonzaga's terrible in March.
I still have a fear of Gonzaga. People have them going to the Final Four, have them going to the championship. I can't see them getting past the Sweet 16. They always choke.
they always choke.
I mean, we can remember the old Adam Morrison days where, you know, he cried on the court for 3 minutes until they lost that upset to a number 12 or something like that.
Yeah, UCLA they lost to, I remember. UCLA household, man. I remember that day proudly. And then they came to the Lakers and won championships. So Adam Morrison, who's crying now.
Yeah.
I have no championships. Other than that, guys, I hope you guys are filling out your bracket. It's always fun to at least do it, you know? Just put in something cheap right there.
Why not?
You never know what you're going to get out of it. I mean, half the time, those people that actually like come close to actually winning that Warren Buffett deal are people who are like, yeah, no, man, I was just like throwing darts at a board and tell me where to go, you know?
Yeah.
People are trying to get all scientific with it. It's like, you cannot, man. Sports is too crazy for you to be able to do that.
If you manage to win, though. If you like actually manage to win.
Well, once you win, then all your predictions were like, supposed to do. You're like, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. Yeah. I meant
totally,
to do that.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
you see, he went crazy, like I expected.
Yeah.
Naturally. Yeah. Come on, guys. I put it out there on the paper. It's written in stone now. So good to know. I hope you're all, the bracket's coming around. That's, when does it start up? Is it start up?
Tomorrow. I think plans are today.
I was saying, I think there's
plans are today
right
then,
now.
Start up tomorrow.
Funny story, actually. Speaking of basketball right now, Chico State basketball, we want to give a shout to them. They're actually in their tournament, the Division II tournament. They're playing today, you said, correct?
Yeah, they won their first two games. They're playing down in San Diego, University of San Diego, they've won their first two games. They're playing tonight at 7.
Okay.
And you can watch them online at UCSDTritons.tv. And there's a link on there to watch them here at 7 o'clock. So.
Yeah, so shouts to our Wildcats right now who are doing
hopefully
their own
make
tournament
the Elite
dancing.
Eight.
Hey.
Drew and I had a real funny moment last week because we found the news. Like, Drew read an article that says the Wildcats made it into the tournament. So Drew tells me they made it to the tournament, and we're both thinking, what, you made it into like the March Madness tournament?
We're going
dancing right now, the real thing right now.
We're going dancing.
And so we're going on about this the entire time right now. We tell a guy at the bar that we're with that, hey, man, Chico State's going to the – imagine if we can see him actually on national TV and whatnot. But lo and behold, Drew doesn't read very well. And didn't realize it was the Division II tournament, and I was so disappointed when I
still
found out.
Still a big deal, though.
Definitely.
It is a big deal.
It is. And it's Division II. We can't quite get into the Division I bracket even if we wanted to, I don't think.
Yeah,
right?
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. Class systems, man. Gotta break these ceilings, man.
Take the roof off this mug.
Right? Yeah. You gotta get us into there, man. We deserve a chance, I feel, you know?
They should have it, though. Like, if you win the D2 tournament, you could like, get into the D1.
Yeah, like soccer Premier League.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know?
Top,
yeah, and then you move up
you move
the league.
Up
yeah, that's tight as hell.
That would be awesome if you did see, like, they just, like, it's Division II school comes into the tournament, and bam, they just, like, make a little run. Get two championships in one season.
That'd be interesting.
Right? Oh, two losses in pool play, up, going down.
or just get blown out.
Oh,
like
no, we're Division
II. Yeah, or get blown
20.
Out by 100, yeah. But...
It'd be like a UConn women's game.
You lose enough, you go down to community college levels, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was right. The selection show for the women's, I think that just happened today as well. UConn has to be the overall number one seed if they're
not. There should be like no other number one seeds. It's just be UConn
and
gets a bye into the championship, and then everyone else has to play UConn.
It's ridiculous how good that women's team is over there.
It's amazing.
We talked about it last week of Gino Auriemma and his ability to continually get the top talents at UConn for being how difficult that is. It's got to be, we said last week, so much more difficult than men's because the talent pool is so much smaller. So the fact that he's able to keep it that consistent, shouts to them into the women's team. They're actually kind of... make it. It's fun to watch them a little bit. I actually did watch a couple of games of them. Granted, they're on the bar a lot that I work at, so it's, you know, kind of hard not to watch them. And there's one of the chicks. I do not know names right now, so I'm not going to try to fake through that.
No, yeah.
Made 10 straight threes in a row, man. Yeah, they never miss one. 10 for 10 from behind the arc. Yeah, and she's shooting deep threes, too. I'm like, that's NBA level right there. So they got some real shooters out there. So Dancing for the Men and Women is happening all around us. It actually makes my days a lot nicer because I get to watch those basketball games. And even though they're like schools I've never heard of, usually getting something pretty entertaining, you know?
Right, yeah.
Always. They're playing their hearts out there.
Yeah, that single elimination style is like the perfect way to fill it out.
Charges, dunks.
Yes.
Just craziness.
Because you are acceptable. It's all acceptable because watching college basketball during the regular season is so difficult.
Yeah, it's so dry.
They're not very good, is what I want. I'm trying to, you know, they haven't had a lot of time to work together. A lot of them are one and done. All the good ones don't stay there, you know. They all move on. So It's really just like a stepping stool for a lot of people.
I mean, it's a limiting system. Like,
yeah.
You could have a player who is phenomenal, but just because of the formula and setup of college basketball, he'll never be able to truly thrive.
It's
Nick Stauskas.
Is that your guy who was never able to truly thrive?
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
He was, I feel like Nick Stauskas was better.
Well,
in
I mean, I know that's what I'm saying. I saw him last night on playing on the Sixers, and it surprised me that he's still in the league. I mean,
the guy's got some.
The Kings went all traded all up and got him.
Yeah,
and
didn't he get him in like the
and then released him? And I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Again,
apparently
Kings,
he is.
Another great picking by the Kings right there.
Yeah,
we went through the list.
Great shooter in college though.
Right,
great shooter in college.
Yeah. Elite level shooter.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's like a lot of people do that. J.J. Redick was awesome. Well, granted, he's still pretty good.
Yeah,
he did train. It took him a while to get like into a prominent figure.
It took him a while to be good.
Yeah,
to figure out the NBA
years,
game.
But he's a legit solid NBA player.
Yeah, he's a solid
shooter.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, I had him on my fantasy league last year. I actually played basketball fantasy.
Man, basketball fantasy, bro.
I don't know. I'm honestly going to get over the fantasy game.
Strictly football fantasy.
It's just too many days.
Exactly.
I won my league this year.
Did you?
I won my league. Came up like a quick 500. Crazy.
Yeah, that's right. That's rent right there for the month.
Boom. Yeah.
Or drinks, whatever you want to spend it on. We'll let you do. I won't judge you on that.
Vegas.
There we go. Yeah. Like I said, now's the time to. I mean, this is March Madness is a really huge time for Vegas. Everyone's putting tons of bets.
I think March
right
Madness
now.
Is the biggest sports game. Besides Super Bowl, I think March Madness is the number one betting in the country. So,
man. Okay.
I'm about to
good
be
luck
all over
to everyone.
Book this weekend.
I'll say, Dro is in Tahoe right now. He might just hop over and put a little bet down for us right now. Might as well. I should ask him to do that. Yo, UCLA boy, if you're hearing, put me down, okay?
Red 17, Dro.
Red 17. I'm 1,000 on double green.
That's my roulette number.
Right? Oh, glad to know that. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to pick it. It sounds unlucky. Again, guys, if you want to give a moment to thank our sponsors right now. Talking about practice is made possible, again, by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Dr. Michael Schwell, clinical psychologist offering psychotherapy for adults and play therapy for children. Dr. Schwell helps people find meaning and depth in their lives and deal with issues including depression, anxiety, trauma, and works with children as young as 5. Located in Chico, Dr. Schwell can be reached at 891-6292. Again, thank you, Dr. Schwell, for your support of the station right there. And now we got a little news for all of us to hit the headline news that I know you guys all love hearing me talk about.
Da-na-na, da-na-na.
Thank you. There we go. I needed that. Tim Tebow got his first hit of the spring right now.
Ooh, Timothy Tebow.
Shouts to Tim Tebow. I don't know what this guy can't do except throw a football. So I love Tim Tebow, man. He's my
you're
boy.
You're dirty.
Yeah.
You're cold for that. He's a child of the Lord.
I was just like, imagine if he actually made the MLB. Like, do you think that? I wonder if that's an actual possibility for him. Like, dude, the guy's actually out there playing, so I got to give him respect.
If he made out with Rockets jersey.
Dude, I think I would too, man.
Yeah.
And he's playing for the Mets.
Right.
He got cool colors.
Yeah.
I'm all down for that.
Yeah, I'm down for that too.
A little orange and blue.
Right.
Yeah. Brazilians love their soccer and they take it very seriously. There is a real ugly brawl that broke out between players and fans in a match between Gama and Brasiliense. The match was abandoned in the 89th minute after riot police had to come onto the field and pretty much start kicking ass. It was actually, if you don't see this video right now, I would highly recommend trying to find it. I'm sure you can find it pretty much in, you know, it's going viral right now. It goes crazy. I mean, it's nuts what these the fans do down there. I've also heard, you know, urban legends that they'll storm fields, take off referees' heads, put them on spikes in the middle, too.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know if that's in Brazil, but it's in South America right now. They take it, they love their soccer, or I'm sorry, their football. Manny Ramirez is still in the news right now. Mainly for his contract that he has with his Japanese baseball team that includes unlimited sushi during the season.
Wow.
He gets unlimited.
Like in the in the clubhouse?
In the clubhouse during the entire season. It's good for an infinite amount. And he has optional practices.
No
way. Like, yeah. Man, he's probably just eating sushi. Like,
he's the Allen Iverson.
He's so fat
of,
over there.
Of Japanese like, I don't know, baseball.
Could you even get fat eating just pure sushi all the time? It's like rice and fish and whatnot.
But have you seen Manny Moran?
I know I have. Yeah, I mean, he was on the Dodgers.
He's on the thicker side.
Yeah.
I've never seen any heavier set like Asian people. You know, I feel like that's not a
well,
thing.
I mean, exactly, right?
So maybe, I feel like he's going to be fresh like... Fresh fish is like a great protein for you. That's
right?
Why.
Yeah, maybe.
And you get rice,
too, which is
processed
McDonald's
clean.
That we eat.
Yeah.
There's differences in body types, people, and there's a reason why what we're putting into them is vastly different. So Manny Ramirez probably going to get fat eating sushi, or maybe by slimming down. Maybe that's his new diet regimen, and we might be seeing a new slim.
I just love that that's in a contract.
Right?
You know,
yeah,
I just love that you can just put that in a contract.
Like he has a writer. I only play with a writer.
Yeah.
Right? Like, M&M's, only green ones, though.
Yeah.
Sushi.
It's got to be Popeye's chicken. Only breasts.
I want someone following me with a boombox everywhere I go.
You put if it's not spicy. If it's not spicy chicken.
You better have ranch, too. There better be ranch everywhere. Yeah, so Manny Ramirez.
Must be nice.
Right. He's got a good contract. His agent is doing wonders for him right now. And I wonder how well he's going to be playing. That's my real question. But I don't think they really care. I think they're just kind of going over for their popularity value.
Yeah. Tim Tebow-esque.
Exactly, yeah.
He probably still would be pretty good, though. In Japan.
Like, I think so. He's like probably like a DH role.
Yeah, but how old? He's like close to 40, isn't he?
Yeah.
I
mean,
he's got to be.
He can still hit. You know, he probably ain't too good of a fielder. Never a great fielder. Probably can't run.
Yeah.
But he probably still hit a little home run.
When you got practices is optional right there.
Just BP.
Yeah,
pretty much. You got that Allen Iverson clause.
Right.
I'm just going to do some BP, y'all.
Just talking about practice, y'all, okay? I got to give a big shout out to the Chico State Track and Field team right now. They were in action this past weekend at the Wildcat Invitational. There were a number of athletes that were notching NCAA provisional qualifying marks. So shouts to them. Me being a track and field guy for as long as I did it for like 15 years of my life. And I was actually really good. Yeah, I got to keep a track of the track and field and what their goings on are. I actually was at a chance to come up here to run. When I got out of high school, however, I got hurt and, you know, sob story, can't run anymore. And
what was your, what were your events?
I was an 800 meter runner and a miler. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a 156, 800 and a 420 1 mile.
Wow.
Yeah.
That 800 is something special. That 156 ain't bad.
No, dude. That
was anything under 2 is real solid.
I was top 15 in state when I did that.
Yeah, 156 is real good.
If coach would have put you in last 2 minutes.
Should have put me in, man. Dude.
Man, put me in. Coach.
Could have won, coach. Could have won state.
Man, we got to get you to Germany, man. We got to get you that Kobe knee
right?
surgery.
I actually had something very similar done like that. What they did, the prolo, like this, the therapy that they do is something I did something similar. I didn't do the platelet therapy, but it was still this therapy where they pretty much inject you with platelets and this, I don't exactly know, but large needles go into your body at your joints. I had it on my knee, my hip, and
sounds
my shoulder.
Gross.
It was awful. Really excruciating pain. But yeah, enough about me and my sob story, guys. Sorry, we're not on, it's not Dr. Phil. So on the non-sports news right now, a giant blizzard is set to hit the East Coast right now. And hearing that type of news makes me really happy to be in California. And only blizzards I'm worried about are whether if I can turn it upside down and it comes out. You know? So thank you, Dairy Queen, for keeping me and actually liking blizzards and what you do. You know?
She had the plug of Dairy Queen.
Right? Yeah, yeah, dude.
Are you going to bust out
Dairy
some Dairy Queen
sponsored
right
the show.
Yeah, come on. I don't mean, there's not even one around here. There used to be.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
gone.
They moved it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very few and far between around these parts, I feel.
Come back, Dairy
so,
Queen.
So, come on. Especially with it being this nice out right now, who wouldn't want a nice blizzard?
Hey, I feel
the East Coast doesn't, but hey, you're getting one anyway.
Run a commercial on our show, Gary Queens. That's what you should do.
I'll just promote you every single time right now and just make some references about blizzards and how you can turn them upside down. And people will love it, I feel. They'll love this is quality radio, guys.
Tough.
And last but not least, the infamous Bodie McBoatface is making its maiden voyage in the Antarctic. Now, Bodie McBoatface isn't actually a boat, as its name would suggest. It is actually a yellow submarine. It's going to be doing stuffing. It's going to be doing stuff to test the currents in the Antarctic waters. And the name Bodie McBoatface is what you get when you let the public decide the name of a yellow submarine.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. I love
power
that.
To the people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Bodie McBoatface.
That's democracy at
to
its
the uneducated
right
people.
There, you know. Bodie McBoatface.
That's someone that like literally called in 600 times and voted for what.
I think it was an online vote.
Charges may apply.
It was a UK thing, and they had like an online vote, and Bodie McBoatface won. And it's a real thing.
It's pretty good.
That's awesome. So good old Bodie. It's on a boat. Like I said, it's a submarine.
Original.
Yeah. So good old Bodie is living large in the Antarctic. Don't freeze down there, guys. It's scary. Okay, guys. So back into the action right now. This is going to be a really hard one for me to talk about right now. It's a foot and mouth. That is, I know you guys aren't really big soccer fans, which is sad.
Because I dabble.
You should dabble more because it's a great sport. Me and Drew have had many discussions about this and how soccer is a great sport and how games such as golf and whatnot are just completely awful, not even sports at all. You know, and we have like golf is like so popular here, and yet we have a great game that soccer gets no love whatsoever.
Golf is an amazing game.
Golf is like the oldest
game. Yes, an amazing game.
Golf is like the oldest sport in the history of the world.
I think golf is a game.
It's a game.
It's a very a very competitive game.
Very skillfully challenged.
Chess is a game.
Very skillfully.
Poker.
You need a lot of that. You need skills. It's a very set amount of skills, but the amount of athletic ability needed for golf is very minimal.
You need to be athletic for sure.
Golf out,
maybe you don't need to run fast, but you need to. I mean,
are we going to really sit here and start calling like golfers athletes? I don't know.
I don't know. Can you hit a golf ball 300 yards? Straight.
I mean, neither can they, though.
Yeah,
takes them forever. Like they have to practice. You know, like I mean, I've gone to the driving range.
Maybe not 300 yards. Yeah, 230.
Yeah, 200 yards. You know? straight.
Okay,
down the pipe.
I will say I've never actually played a round of golf, but I have gone to the driving range.
I've gone
to the driving range.
I'm not
so I know. I know I can hit the golf ball.
Derek's a putt putter.
Yes. Wow. And I've done my fair share of putt putt.
That's a game.
Mini golf. Putt putt
is a game.
And so is it's a miniature game of the bigger game.
No, you're on
like a little mini hoop in the house.
I don't get on a tee box and hope to get around a windmill when I'm golfing.
I just cannot give myself to give the name athlete or sport to golf.
I will say one good trivia fact about golf that you will like.
Okay,
is
lay it on me.
A fifth of Irish whiskey or scotch.
Okay.
It has 18 shots in it, and that was originated back when golf was originated.
And 18
shots per hole.
So you had
so every hole you had a shot.
You're drunk by the end of that. Okay,
I'm just saying.
Right.
I like this game now.
Okay.
It's a great game.
Oh man,
I did not realize that. Okay, that's pretty cool. All right,
so you just finished
a little fun
whole
fact
bottle?
For the day.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Hole nine.
I was going to say, is that like between you and your friends you're doing it?
I don't know how they played it for each into one. I mean, this is, again, back
you guys
in,
were going golf and everyone grab your bottles. Yeah.
You know, 100 years
the
ago. But,
on the hole.
You know, maybe it was loser of the hole.
Loser of the
hole. Takes the shot, so hopefully you don't lose all 18.
I probably lose them on purpose just to take the shot. I'll be like, yeah.
I'm thirsty.
Do you have a chaser? No, I don't need any chaser.
I want an Arnold Palmer. What's that?
No, you want a John Daly with this round
John
right
Daly,
now.
Yeah,
the good old John Daly right there. So, I like how we got on this little sidetrack of golf.
Oh, yeah, go back to soccer. Yeah, I'm sorry.
We'll get back on to that, I'm sure, because it's a big topic. But this last weekend, I mentioned it, that Champions League play was coming back. And for those of you who aren't aware, Champions League is the top European teams from every European country. They come together for this one tournament every single year. It's the most prestigious game out there, the most prestigious tournament trophy pretty much any player could ever want, other than the World Cup. And the team that I most often support is a team called Paris Saint-Germain. They're in Paris, obviously. And they went up against PSG. They went up against Barcelona on Wednesday. And this round that they're playing, they play two games, one at each person's home, and they have an aggregate total to determine who moves on. Going into this game, it was the second game. PSG had won the first round 4-0. Now, for those of you, even for casual soccer fans or no soccer fans whatsoever, would know, scoring four goals in a game is amazing. You know, like, doesn't happen very often. So having a 4-0 lead going into this next game, Barcelona had an probably insurmountable road. They could not get past it. I didn't see it happening. No one saw it happening. However, as the game progressed, it slowly became clear that maybe there was a chance. They slowly had one. They got one. They kept getting goal after goal, and they scored early. They scored rather often. Then PSG finally got one on the board, and I thought it was set because They had an away goal difference, and they now had 5 goals, and they needed to get 6 goals. Barcelona needed to get 6 goals to be able to beat PSG at this point. And they had 3 goals at that point. It was 3-1. And they proceeded from the, I believe it was the 85th minute on. They scored 3 goals. Barcelona did. They scored their last goal in the last minute of stoppage time. And it was truly and utterly heartbreaking for me as I sat on my couch in complete and utterly disbelief because the team that I was for sure thought was going to go on did not. And unfortunately, I was left pretty much the entire week having to listen to replay after replay of calls such as this.
That is some breath.
Yes.
All one
That's
breath, too.
Ganted, if you pretty much, he's just saying goal for Barca. That's pretty much all you really need to know. That was the last goal that was made by Sergio Roberto in the 95th minute. And it was a spectacular game. As a fan of the game, it truly was amazing. The comeback that Barcelona did, no one saw that coming. It was impossible. Anyone could ask you. And again, pretty much the only reason why I have Instagram in my life is so I can get my soccer highlights. So I follow a number of soccer accounts because I can't. There's not one out there that gives me everything.
Right.
So pretty much my entire news feed from Wednesday on was just how humiliating PSG should feel and how amazing Barca had. And it was just a very tough week for me, having to go through the fact that PSG will not win the Champions League again this year. They have never won it before in their history. They actually had a great shot of doing so, and beating a team like Barcelona would really pole vault them into actually being in a great position to maybe actually take it this year. But no, we had to listen. We had to hear this man go on and on about goal for Barca.
How many people are on the mic?
There are 2 guys right now, but honestly, it's ridiculous the amount of people that come storming in. This is because the commentators for the Barcelona, I believe it's the radio call that they have.
That's great.
That was amazing. I mean, like I said, if you're a Barcelona fan, you're going nuts. You're crazy. You're ecstatic. Fans were mobbing Leo Messi. The players are going crazy. I wish I was a Barcelona fan so I could experience that feeling, what they went through, because I was on the end of that, and it's been truly, it's just, it's embarrassing.
It's almost kind of like similar to, I don't know, you're saying this is a pretty big game, so I'm kind of going to compare it to a Super Bowl, you know, this year, you know, with the Patriots, you know, at halftime being down 21-3,
totally.
You know, and everyone's like, oh, this game's over, and Tom Brady does what he does. So
to be honest, this is a bigger comeback than what that
right
was.
And those stadiums and every, I mean, that's amazing that they can score that many goals in one game.
6-1 was a 6-1 was a final for that game. One of them was an own goal, which was even worse. They had a couple of chances. PSG had a couple great opportunities where it's one-on-one against the goalkeeper, and they made a great save. But, yeah, it was a tough week for me because I had to hear good old Barcelona and their goal chance because
Well, good thing no one else in America watches soccer, so you don't really have to hear that.
It's coming up, guys. It really is.
No way you're going to bring that up.
It's coming along.
People are still talking about the Super Bowl for the time. Yeah. Like
we are a small nation in a wide globe, and everyone else in the globe likes this sport, okay? Granted, I know the old adage comes to my head of, if everyone jumps off a cliff, are you going to join us too? I think we need to jump off this cliff, America. All right, we need to get onto this this bowl cliff.
I just think
soccer
we're so
cliff.
Bad as Americans. Like, we're just so bad at soccer.
Like I said, because I think it all stems from the fact that it's not all our good athletes go to football, basketball, or baseball, you know?
Yeah. Right. Like the basketball AAU system in this country is like, you know, kids, you know, all the club teams have, Messi was 13 when he was in Barcelona's club.
He came over from Argentina, brought his entire family over. Like, they moved mountains to be able to do this. I mean, I think if, like I said, imagine if we just had someone who, like LeBron James, who's the 6'8 freak of nature, you can sprint past most people. What's like a, what, a 4'5, 4'4, 40, right?
Yeah.
You know, put some stamina on the guy, give him a couple leaner muscles right there. The guy's an amazing forward. Right,
we've
there.
Had some guys like those. You know what I mean? Like the Landon Donovans or the, you know, there's certain guys.
We haven't quite, we never had a stellar athlete that has joined the soccer realm from an American point of view, you know?
Like this black guy.
That's what we need. We need a black guy. We need a Tiger Woods for.
We need a Freddie Adu, but like nice.
But Freddie, actually good. Freddie, you know, yeah, like, the guy that actually trash, sticks around. So. He tried. I mean, he's actually still around.
Pro when
yeah,
he was like 14 yeah, or something. Like that. He went pro when he was
like
14.
14,
yeah.
15.
Yeah. 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 I thought he was signing a contract when he was like 13 or something. But still,
that's
yeah.
a good reference right yeah. there. That was a really good reference.
Yeah. Good old Freddie Adu. He was in that commercial with Pele. Yes.
Yes. Come on, Freddie. You didn't live up to that.
Love.
You didn't deserve. Pele didn't deserve that. Yeah, Pele. You know my man, Pele, grimy.
Right, they made him seem like this is gonna be the next Pele, and then oh yeah, no, not quite. Sorry.
What happened to Ronaldinho?
He's still out there, man. He's still an ambassador for Barcelona right now. He does, like, you know, trying to lure people over and whatnot. And there was actually, like I said, I did mention before, that if you all don't remember, there was a terrible plane crash from a Brazilian team. Chapecoense was the name. Yeah. They lost pretty much their entire squad. There was talks that Ronaldinho was actually going to join that team to, you know, give him a team to put out there on the field, and a lot of stars were willing to do that. It turns out the general manager for that team didn't want that to be the case. He's like, there must have been some contract issues or something. I'm not exactly sure. We never actually did end up playing for them. So he's just doing, like I said, ambassador work for Barcelona right now, doing his thing. But he can still play football with the best of them. He does some charity matches, and he does some moves that are just utterly insane.
Oh yeah, I remember those Nike commercials.
Oh yeah,
Nike commercials,
those
are crazy.
He's so dope.
On the cobblestone. Ugh. Yeah. There's freaking people out there on the cobblestone.
Oh yeah, good old Ronaldinho. He's the man. Now on the bigger and better things right now. I actually watched NASCAR this weekend.
Hey, did you see that fight?
That's what I'm going to talk about right now.
Hey, that fight was
amazing, man. Like, again,
blood was drawn.
We talked about it on the show last week. Was it last week we tried to name, or was it 2 weeks?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. We tried to name as many NASCAR drivers as we could. We got to like 17 or something. Yeah.
Damn, that's good.
It was impressive.
Right?
Yeah.
It was a combined force of four people.
Okay. Yeah. So I can only think of like four.
Right? You're like Jeff Gordon and then
Dale Earnhardt.
Let's junior and again. Senior. Yeah. Let's we won't do it again. Let's not do this again. But still, it was a great time because I got in at the very end. There was only like 15 laps left.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
Oh, that's
time.
Yeah. That's no, the best time.
You
yeah.
cannot. I don't understand how you could sit there and watch all 500 laps of that thing. Oh my gosh, that's tedious right there. but it ended rather stunningly because there was a crash on the last curve or whatnot. Kyle Busch, that's one of the guys we actually were able to name. His car got wrecked in what he thought was a dirty move by another driver. I don't know his name. And what happened was at the end of the race, he comes over to his pit lane, Kyle Busch does, and throws a sucker punch at the driver.
Joey Logano,
thank you. Producer working his job right now. And after that, he pretty much got immediately tackled by Joey Logano's crew, chief and his staff, pretty much his pit crew. That's the word I'm looking for his pit crew. And walked away bloodied and just disheveled and all, just looking sad. Yeah. Just super sad Bruised walking away.
Penzo and Pit Crew's got some fighters on it.
Yeah,
They
already got him with a mean left.
Right? And I thought it was amazing because it was like the only NASCAR event I've seen in probably the past, you know, 2 years or whatever. I don't pay attention to it. I don't. And I got this. So I was like, I might tune in next week or whenever they play.
Yeah, what I love about NASCAR, it's almost in the sense of like hockey where you can maybe get that breakout fight every now and again. But NASCAR, you know, you see in the clip Kyle Busch walking away, and the media reporter is asking him questions, and he doesn't want to speak to him really. He just goes, he'll get his, and so it just kind of builds that animosity. Like, I mean, do you guys realize you guys are driving cars here? This isn't like
this is road rage at its finest.
Yeah, this isn't like a pitcher, you know, like throwing at your back or something. Like,
I was gonna say, you got like a 2-ton machine around you. You know, you could kill people.
Man.
A lot of people.
If they made it though, so you like really could fight though. I don't know. They're
right? Like it's like everyone stops the race. Get out of the car.
It's called destruction derby.
You get the helmets off. You know. Yeah. There we go. You get more, dude. That's the way you get more fans on NASCAR. Come on, step your game up.
Yeah, I definitely might watch the next. at least the next, you know, 20, 30 laps of the next race.
Yeah.
Until I'm like, oh, nothing's happening. All right.
Because, like,
they're still going
left. Definitely alludes to the fact that, you know, next time he goes out there, he might not finish the race.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Right? Yeah. That's what happens in NASCAR. You crash, you don't finish your race, man. That's, you know, you're not dead. Yeah,
don't crash me in the last 20
like
laps.
Hunger soon. Games of NASCAR.
Right?
You
just
don't win.
Something laps. You gonna crash me in the last 10 laps?
That's rough. Yeah. It's, it makes you feel like that entire like 4 hours you're out there
wasted,
like,
just holding your pee the whole time,
right?
Peeing on yourself.
Oh, that's always like, have they say they do like just go in their suits, right?
Is that no, they have just, the suits have
like pockets
I'm
and whatnot.
Sure,
yeah, they can do
I'm
it.
Sure.
Yeah. What if what's the number two comes up though?
That he, well, then you know what?
Well, I'm just saying.
You know you're going to be on a long 500 mile road trip. Go before your trip.
Hell no!
I'm just saying. Comes along, man. You cannot prepare for situations all the time.
Breakfast.
Thumper dumper.
But then you're going to pass out driving, man. You know? Like, right, dude, well, driving.
Maybe you just created a new invention for NASCAR.
So, should have made those hot wings.
The front seat that also has a toilet hooked into it.
That'd be crazy.
There you go, guys.
Yeah.
Let's patent that.
I don't think
they would want to do that because it's like extra weight. They're so minuscule about their weight on it. Oh, no, that's an extra 2 ounces. No, get it off. It's too much right now. We can't go. So good old NASCAR talk. So I would highly suggest tune into it, guys. You might see some crashes, particularly by Kyle Busch and Joey Logano. That's who we're looking at right now. It's the
super.
I remember one of them was the M&M's car and the Pennzoil car, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When M&M's is your sponsor, I feel like you can't be going around swinging punches at people.
Yeah. But I want to know is where was his pit crew at? You know,
Kyle, no. No one likes Kyle Busch.
Yeah, and the other guy that swung that punch in the Pennzoil crew is probably promoted now.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
He's like, you can drive now.
Yeah.
You're targeting Kyle Busch. That's what your job is. Go after him. Take him out. He's not coming back here ever again. Okay. Now, coming down to the last part of the show right now, I'm going to do a couple of my grinds, my gears for you guys because I got a lot of things, man. They're out there. Ooh. They just eat me alive. My first one I want to start off with is something that's been eating at me for a while because I saw it a couple weeks ago. Haven't brought it up until now. Haven't had a chance to. But here it is, guys. What really grinds my gears. There is a bottle flipping league out there.
Oh.
No.
There is a legitimate bottle flipping league out
there.
You're lying. I am dead serious. It is a real... They're trying to make... Okay, that's a game for sure. That is no longer sports
at all. Okay, so you're talking about like the Crystal guys or the half bottle that they do like a half flip on and balance it on the...
And they have a target they have to land it on. They have hoops they jump through. They do it up super high up and stuff. It's just,
no.
It is... ridiculous. There is a legitimate bottle flipping
where
league out there.
This?
I don't know where it is.
Involved?
I do.
It's no worse than competitive
cup stacking.
No Ooh. Worse than that.
I think it is. I think it's worse than cup stacking.
Let's not target cup stacking here. You know, I'm a cup stacker from way back.
Cup stacking is actually like that's kind of cool. In
how?
Action.
I mean, no.
See,
how?
When it's going really fast.
I'm with you, Jordan. That's
kind of cool.
Yeah, how is
that?
See, the
guy flip a bottle
cool.
is not in any way, shape, or fashion.
It's not.
No.
It's not.
I think there's more, you know, it's cooler with the cups.
It's cooler. You could do it in 3 seconds, but, like, that's like a bar trick.
That's not all you can do in 3 seconds.
That's okay. Well, that's like
but still.
That's like a bar trick, you know? Like,
they're both
like hey, you
want to
see what I can do? Give me, like, 12 cups.
You can't do that. They're glass cups, though. You're going to break stuff.
No, you can go to certain bars that have the plastic. The clouds, ones, you know, outdoor bar. Patio, cheap bar.
Yeah, okay. Again, that just, I think there's more of an allure to cup stacking to me than there is some bottle flipping. Granted, neither of them are like, I'm not.
But like, what's the regulation for bottle? Can you only have like Fiji water? You're like, no, you can't use that.
That's too good water, man.
Someone tries to bring a Voss. You know, like, that's going to be too much. You know, you're going to break.
Smart water. No, man, that's outlawed.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
That's steroided water.
Smart water, but only the liter size.
Yeah.
That's the standard size.
Because like, one thing I did see, the one brief clip I did see of this bottle flipping league, again, just irritates the living daylights.
The BFL.
Bottle flipping league.
The BFL.
Professional bottle flipper, man. Yeah. Call me Flips.
They call me Flips.
Oh,
Flips side?
Flips McGee.
Oh,
so I did see them with like colored water and stuff. Like they, I don't know. I don't know exactly if you guys are actually interested in bottle flipping, which I hope you're not, because that's another thing that really just grinds my gears in general. Bottle flipping is stupid.
They make like gymnastics.
You should put like Monopoly houses in it, you know, and like get like a tornado going and then flip it.
You got a whole.
It's going to be like this like whole new art form right there.
Right?
Thank you for starting that
with
right
his
now.
Classic blue water. Jordan flips the cup.
Oh man, he lands it.
Oh, it lands it.
You see the hurricane in there, Bob?
But what is it? Is it like points for, like, I don't get it. Is it points for landing form? Like the high?
Okay, like I said, through, I do know that there was rings, there's a target on the bottom, okay, on like the ground that they have to land it on. It's like, you know, shooting right, target and whatnot.
Parents, teach your kids more sports.
That's a skill right there, man.
That's okay. That's a game.
Have you seen the like those videos that people get about bottle flipping is ridiculous. Like, and then you start flipping pens and whatnot. I'm like, come on, what are we doing with our kids these days?
Hey, find yourself, kids. Find
all right,
yourself.
What's next on the agenda for grinding your
bottle
gears?
Flipping. Okay. Another thing that grinds my gears. Slapping butt to congratulate people. I don't know. I'm in sports and stuff. It's not for me, man. Like, I don't know. My butt, it's... My mom used to beat my butt when I was younger. When I did something bad, she'd just spank me. And I feel like ever since then, it's like, ah, no, dude, what are you doing? Like, that's a bad thing usually in my eyes. I don't know. Yeah. I'm against the butt slapping as a form of congratulation. If you want to punish me that way, that's one thing else. But still.
I just feel like it's been around for so long. You can't.
Where did I come around? Like, like the first person to do that. Like, what was their reaction they got? The first person to slap a butt to congratulate. Hey, good job, son. Boom. Whoa. Like, you what? I don't know you that way.
Or maybe he said, go out there and get him. And then the next play, he scored. And then from then on out, they're like, all right, it's butt slapping time.
Butt slapping time.
Yeah.
I mean.
You're different about it? Are you a butt slapper?
I'm not different. No, I don't see the purpose in a butt slap. Because I feel like it's the same thing as a handshake.
Yeah, I'm a high five is fine. Yeah, I'm all for high five. And I'm all for shaking hands.
But winning the game, are you going to be like quick and like, good job? You know, you're
not high five is a lot easier than going down there to butt slap. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I'm not down for butt slapping, guys. Again, not in that fashion. Other ways, maybe, but still. I'm going to stop now. Okay. what I'm also, another thing that grinds my gears, okay? People that like to like stick their hand out to get a high five from like a professional athlete or something and then take it away real fast before they can get them because they don't like that player or something like that. That really annoys me. I'm just like...
like, wait, what do you... I don't get what you're saying.
So you know, like, you're just trying to troll, like, the professional player. Like, you, like, put it out too like, slow. Too, you know, like, yeah, the too slow type of thing. Or, like, I see people put it out and, like, dab on them and stuff. And I'm like, no, you stupid.
Why they're in the stands and they're not professional athletes.
I'm just saying, it just seems so petty. Don't even put your hand... If you don't like the guy, don't try to troll him by putting him out there. I'm just saying, yeah. It creates an untrustworthy environment where every single hand that puts out there, I don't know if I want to put it out there. I don't want to look like a fool, slapping out midair and not getting anything in return. No.
All these athletes are going to have trust issues.
You are destroying the trust out there, people, when you do that. It happened to me one time when I was running.
That's why there's no loyalty anymore to teams.
It stuck out to me. I'm just saying, man.
Somebody was like,
I kid you not. Okay, this is a great story. This is my high school days. I'm running around. It's cross-country training. We're out on the town in the streets, and it's right by like an elementary school getting out. And this kid, he sees us running by, and he's like, hey, and, like, puts his hand out to go for high five. I'm like, oh, slow kids. He's being nice, you know. Put it out there. He goes, too slow. His parents start cracking up. And I'm just like, I'm running past. I just whooped. I mean, he's thinking he's the funniest thing out there. I'm just
he
like,
is.
No, he is not, man. Thing I ever. Hated him.
Because he got
trust
to you.
Is gone.
Because 10 years gone. Later, still
it's,
affecting
it's
you.
Still on your mind.
It's still there.
He's okay. At Brown
he's
University.
Still, he still runs by that elementary school. Every time he goes home, he still runs by that elementary right. school.
Hey, yo, I faked this dude out here one time real bad. Like, he looks silly, you know? Now I'm living the high life, and this guy's doing radio shows for free.
He wrote a thesis about it.
Right? How I'm punked the dude the worst. You know, how to punk someone the worst. Yeah, I just don't do that, guys. Come on. Keep the hand out there. Let the high five commence, okay? That's all I'm asking for. A little return on my investment. I'm putting my hand out there, you know? Like, you put it out there. You inviting me to do that. It's like, hey, come over to my house. Hey, knock, knock. Not invited anymore. Go away, you know? Like, here, party time. Nope. It's like, open door, shut in your face as you come in. That's what you're doing.
I'm glad you came.
Nice. No. And you're out.
Nice.
So, yeah. If you're putting your hand out there, guys, hold it. Commit to the hand slit, to the high five, guys. Okay, last but not least, guys. This one's a little personal because
wasn't personal.
Yeah. Okay, they're all personal. They're all personal, guys. Just know that. These are what grinds my gears. And they probably grind some of your gears, too, I bet. I'm hitting points for people. But so let's say you're at a busy establishment, bar, restaurant, something or whatnot. Hustle and bustle's going around, and your bartender comes up to you and asks you what you want. You've been waiting for 10 minutes, and you don't know what you want. That is a sin. That is a terrible sin right there. You are in a busy bar. You are being selfish right there. You can't discuss in that 10-minute period of time of waiting what you all are going to get as a group. No, you need to have your bartender come up to you and say, hey, what do you want? If you just start going through the options of drinks in here. Oh, what do I want? Yo, you're at a bar right now to get something. You should be going through your list by the time you get up to the bar and have it ready. So when your bartender comes up, he gets your drink, it's there for you. Because you're, when you are selfish, it's a selfish move not doing that, I feel, because you're making everyone else wait longer because you were not prepared.
But what grinds you more, that or someone ordering half their order?
And then coming back.
And then
that's,
you come back and then they go, actually, can I get three more?
They're both on there, man. Again, not prepared. You didn't prepare. Yeah. You didn't know that you needed all your drinks right there, you know? If someone's like, oh, you're ordering drinks right now, get me this too. Too late for you, buddy. Yeah. Too late. Yeah. Okay, guys. That's what grinds my gears. You guys can't see me right now, the rest of you audience.
He's red.
The two people are, but I get passionate about this stuff. I start moving and waving hands.
He's sweating.
Whew, definitely time to have a drink right now. Where I'll be prepared when my bartender comes up to me and asks me what
soda.
I want. Okay?
I know exactly what I want. Yeah. A Fresca.
We're out of that. Pick something else. Thank you guys once again for your time.